All right, thanks very much, Sue. I'm going to pray, and if you keep your Bibles open, that's just really helpful as we look at this passage. Am I getting that through that as well? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this orderly account that Luke records for us of wonderful things about who Jesus is and what he came to do. And I pray that as we think about these things, you'd impress on our hearts and minds just how ready, willing, and able Jesus is to do the thing that he came to do. And I pray that that just wouldn't be static information in our ears, but it'd be wonderful news, heartwarming news about the difference that you can bring into someone's life who knows and follows you and finds your goodness in operation for them. I pray all of this in your name. Amen. Well, last week we talked about Jesus' job description. Lisa just took us through those things that are in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Wonderful things about what Jesus came to do and who he is. He's God's anointed one, come to do wonderful things. But if you're reading this for the first time, you've got to wonder, well, what is the nature of what Jesus has come to do, and is he up for the job? I don't know if any of you have jobs where you have apprentices or where you have people who you're checking out for a job, and sometimes they're I'm seeing some people with closing their eyes at that moment. Sometimes you need to have them on probation to see what they're about and check out whether they're actually up for the job. Well, we get the chance to see who Jesus is and if he's up to the job. I know that sounds almost irreverent, but if you're reading this through for the first time, if you've heard Jesus' job description, the question that you've got at this point without knowing anything more is, what does this look like in Jesus' life? What can he do? What does it look like for him to fill out this job description? And so what we're going to see in this passage is that he is ready, he is willing, and he is very able to do the things that he came to do. And that's what I want you going away with today, which is why it's up on the board in really, really big and colourful letters. If you don't remember anything else, remember that Jesus is ready, willing, and able to do the things that he came to do. Well, the first question you have is, well, how willing is he to come and accomplish what he came to do? This is a leper that we hear about in this passage who comes to Jesus, and you have to understand that a leper in those days is ostracized from society. There's no cures or there's no drugs or medicine like there is today for that sickness. And so he is on the edge of society, kept away from people, kept away even from worshipping God in the temple because he couldn't be with people there. I think that being in COVID-19 gives us a slightly better understanding of what that feels like to be isolated. We know something more about isolation. It's not the same to the same level, but we understand about being separate. We understand about being lonely, about being kept out of things. We can't have this many people here. We've got to be separate. And he knows that to a completely different level. Well, I think that when he comes to Jesus, he is desperate. He falls on his face, is what the text says. And that tells me just how desperate he is. And it's not even that he's got a question about whether Jesus can do anything. The question is actually before that. The question he has is, would Jesus even want to do anything for me? Would he even be willing to help me? He feels that separation to that level. And I think that that is just so sad and so heartbreaking to hear where he is at. Do you know, that is not an unfamiliar feeling to people out in the community. Just this week, I had a phone call from someone who was in that very same headspace. And his question to me was, are you a church that is friendly towards people that are struggling with, and he mentioned the type of sin. And behind that question is this question: are we willing to interact with people struggling with sin? Do you even care about people in my situation? And that's the leper here. And so I really hope this person is listening on this morning, because when I got to this passage, I hadn't quite done all my work for it at that point. When I got to this passage, I thought, this is so perfect, because Jesus really shows this leper that he does care. He is not distant. And so there's these extraordinary things that you see Jesus do as he comes into interaction with this man. He says he's willing. He says that explicitly to this man. He says, I am willing, so that he knows that he's willing to help him in his need. But he does a whole lot more than that as well. He reaches out to that man. He's not on the back foot. He reaches out and he touches him. And some translations say that he grabs hold of that man. And he does the unthinkable. He touches a man that he could get that sickness from. That is what you did not do. You did not touch a leper. They were ostracized, kept out of the community. And Jesus does the unthinkable by reaching into that man's space. That's a terrific picture of his goodness and his willingness to help that man right there before he even says that he's willing. But then he says that he is willing. And the thing that happens here is that typically, if you touched someone who was unclean, you weren't then fit to go and worship with God's people in the temple. You were unclean. But what happens here is quite the opposite. Jesus remains clean, and the leper is healed instantly. He is cleansed instantly. And Jesus tells him to be quiet about this, presumably so that he can be out with others and not hindered in his situation. He tells the man to present to a priest. Now that's a further goodness of how willing he is to help, because the priest is the public health inspector who says whether you're fit to be in temple, whether you're fit to be in society. So Jesus is saying, go present yourself to the guy who will integrate you back into society with people that can care for you again. So that man goes to present himself to the priest and be restored to society. So I want you to take from the story about Jesus with the leper that he is ready to do his job that he came for, to heal and restore, and that he is willing. He is so willing. And no one ever needs to wonder whether God cares about people in that desperate situation. I want to add one more thing to that. And that's for us as a church. We need to reflect the same sort of character that Jesus shows to sinners. We need to be welcoming and ready to receive people and be willing to be in their space to help them to know Jesus. I'm going to hand over to Dean to pray, and then we'll look at the next section after he's prayed. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Dean. So you know what I'm going to talk about now, don't you? Jesus is ready, he is willing, and he is able to do powerfully what he came to do, to be God's anointed one, to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight, set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we are seeing what that looks like as he lives that out and as he exercises his job description and reaches out to people. Jesus is powerfully able to help people at their point of greatest need. And as we come to the account of the paralyzed man who was healed by Jesus, what we see is that Jesus is able to heal people at the point of their deepest need. And that's what comes through in this. We're already seeing demonstrations of his power as Jesus heals a blind man. We're already seeing great things like that, but we see that Jesus reaches to the very deepest places, and that's what's come through here. Now, the thing that's different, of course, first up, is that Jesus says to this man, your sins are forgiven. He could have said, get up and walk. He could have said that first. But when he says, your sins are forgiven, is that doing something? When he says, your sins are forgiven first, what he's doing is he's putting out there his priority. Sins forgiven first. And Jesus is making something very clear there about what he has come to do and his priorities. and where his authority is exercised. What he says offends the Pharisees and teachers of the law. You see that in verse 21. They say, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And it'd be a great question if it was asked honestly. If they asked that question and they joined the dots and looked at what it spells out, they would soon see that, well, he's no mere man, is he? He's far more than what a man could do. He is indeed the Son of God. And Luke has been saying that he's the Son of God in so many places. In Luke 1:35, 3:38, 4:3, 4:9, 4:41. I just threw a bunch of verses at you. Luke says, this is the Son of God. He's making that really clear in his orderly account. And the cleansing of the leper, that teases out the sort of cleansing that Jesus can do. But even the word cleanse, it's got that idea. You cleansed your hands in a ritual cleansing as you went to the temple. And there's this thought, could Jesus clean me where I most need cleaning? So you come to the story of the paralyzed man. And it's a bit hard for people to see if their sins are forgiven. Now, Jesus can say that. How would you know that that's happened? And so what Jesus does is a demonstration to try and make the invisible visible by demonstrating power in the visible realm. He says, which is easier to say, this is verse 23, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And so Luke makes it really clear what Jesus wants us to understand in this healing of the paralyzed man. Jesus wants us to understand he has the authority to forgive sins. And so when he says, get up and walk, and they see the man get up and walk, what Jesus is calling for them to really see is that he has the authority to forgive sins, to reach into that deepest part of our lives and to bring the cleansing right there. That's the thing Jesus wants us to understand. And the extraordinary thing arising in all of this is that as Jesus accomplishes what he does it through the power of his word. Get up and walk. If it was a physician, he'd send you to a physio, or he'd get you to do some procedure, or he'd manipulate something. Jesus speaks and things happen. His word has a powerful effect. And the thing that tells me is that it reaches into the deepest, darkest, most terrible places of our lives. And people like the man on the phone this week to me, feel that darkness deep in their soul. And what we are hearing here is that Jesus can reach even into that deepest, darkest place. He can bring change even there. That's a great thing to hear, isn't it? Jesus has made it really clear what his priority is. In chapter 4, verse 42, there's a chance where he can stay with some people and remain with them, heal them, do more healing, doing that sort of thing. But he says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. His good words must go out further. And it tells me something about his priorities there. He wants that good news of what he came to do to go out further. And that takes priority over healing and staying in that place. Good news is for everyone to hear. It's the priority that Jesus gives. And you see Jesus' words, heal people. You see that he is able to forgive sins. And he's able to bring good news that has a profound effect on people's life. And as we read through Luke's orderly account, as we hear that Jesus is ready, he is willing to come and reach into our lives, and he is able to bring change, to cleanse deep, really deep, the most deepest part of our lives, then that message is not just static information that walks past us. And we see Jesus calling to people to follow him. You see that in the next few verses. Verse 27, follow me, says to Levi. And what does Levi do? He keeps going with, no, he doesn't keep going with his life. He leaves everything and follows him. And Luke's inviting us into this story. Jesus is ready. He is willing. He is able to bring change. And if you are hearing these words and following along with him, there's an invitation in what Luke has to say to follow Jesus. And you might continue with the same job. You might have the same friends, but you won't be the same person. You will leave everything behind in your heart and head to follow him. And that is what he is calling people to do. And he could even change and restore and heal you. No one is too far for him to reach. He is that good. He is that willing. And he is that able that no one is beyond his reach. How about I give thanks for that now? Father, thank you for this orderly account that Luke gives us about Jesus. Thank you that it was written at a time when others could corroborate what is going on. It doesn't stand hundreds of years later, but our understanding is that it was recorded within 20 years when people could say whether or not these things happened. Father, thank you that the character of Jesus is wonderful. Thank you that his goodness is so clear in this passage. And Father, if there's anyone hearing these words that is wondering if you could ever do anything in their lives, if there's anyone feeling that wretched that they can't see a way forward or have lost hope and hardly can ask for your help in their lives, I pray that they'd see that you are willing and that you take the front foot and reach out to people. And you did that in sending Jesus in the first place for us. I thank you that as we read through the Gospel of Luke, we will see that Jesus holds nothing back, that he goes to his death on the cross in our place to take a penalty that was meant for us. I pray that you would bring hope to lives that need hope. And I pray that people would hear you calling them to follow you and follow after you with all of their hearts. And I pray this in your name. Amen.